The Garden by Francis Rosenfeld. Chapter 5. The Garden of Confidence. Sailing. I thought you gathered the seeds from the fields, Rahima complained, staring in disbelief at a gangly plant with palmate leaves, which was towering over the almost ripe field of wheat. I did. We didn't have this kind of plant in the fields. It's probably a weed. Pull it out. Rahima obliged, irked, throwing the offending trespasser into the nearby stream, to keep it from spreading its seeds. The water was shallow, and puddled in places after the rain, and the incident was soon forgotten, in the rush to get to harvest and stop subsisting on thistle seeds. Weeks passed, during which it rained, and the puddles filled and dried out repeatedly, hiding and revealing their submerged contents. One doesn't realize relationships exist in context, and while Rahima was Simi's most devoted admirer, supporter and confidant when they both lived in the village under the ceaseless scrutiny of the elders, being thrown into the wild to fend for herself had turned her into an assertive, critical authority, who could find fault with the weather if she thought her friend had something to do with it. Some resentments run deep, and she never forgot it was Simi's obsession with all things weird and unnatural that landed them in this tragic circumstance. She didn't have a specific complaint, since both her wherewithal and workload didn't much differ from what she'd been used to her whole life, but the blood of the tribe runs deep, and being separated from everything and everyone she knew made her feel half dead. She kept wallowing in self-pity and ruminating over the stupid diseased book, as everybody called it, wishing she'd never laid eyes on it and wondering where did Simi hide it, now that her old aspirations for writing and drawing were obviously unattainable. As she pondered on the sorry state of her life, her eyes wandered to a puddle that had dried out, leaving behind a whitish film. She hid the book in the stream. Rahima asked herself, bewildered, and since the hypothesis was too crazy to entertain, she drew closer. On the bottom of the dried puddle lay a sheet of something that looked very much like parchment, woven through with rough brown thread. Resentment took a back seat to opportunity. Simi and Rahima sat down and debated the potential uses of the material. The whitish dried paste looked kind of pointless, but the thread's usefulness was immediately clear, although they weren't near as soft and beautiful as the ones the plant with blue flowers yielded. Simi wished she still had her charcoal and her parchment, so she could draw the new plant and detail its characteristics. Everyone grieves in his or her own way. While Rahima suffered the anguish of social isolation, Simi was distressed over the loss of her favorite activities, which gave her a reason to look forward to each day. She wasn't a conscientious type, Simi, and having to go back to working the fields was more punishment than her friend would think for her. Field work was tedious and repetitive, and yielded no surprises. Faye emerged from the tall grasses and sat himself on top of a flat rock, munching on grains. "Are they ripe?" Simi asked him. He gobbled down another helping and gave her a blank stare. "I guess that's a no. Do you ever get bored being a rat? I wish I had something to do that didn't involve digging, mowing, or lifting heavy bundles." Faye had had his fill and descended from the rock, careful not to scrape his pudgy belly on its sharp edges. Nature had provided bountifully for the little critter, if one were to judge by his girth. He trampled through a mud puddle and advanced towards the sheet of dried white paste, which he intended to chew up and fluff to build a nest, tracking perfectly clear paw prints, tail prints, and whisker prints on its bright surface in the process. He had to be moved away by force from the useful material by a very enthusiastic Simi, who grabbed the sheet and rushed to the extinguished fire pit to find charcoal. "Look at this, Rahima. Just look." She forced a fresh drawing of the new plant, complete with written details, on her uncooperative friend, until she managed to pique the latter's interest. "It's just like parchment, but better. And we can make so much of it." She turned around in dismay, remembering they threw away the plant, seeds and all, and she couldn't remember seeing any other plants like it around. "I don't know about the white sheet, but the fibers would be useful," Rahima deigned to agree. "Where do you think it came from? There can't be just one plant. Maybe a bird ate it somewhere far away, flew back and dropped it here." "Flew back from where?" "We've seen all the land. It always ends at the waters. Maybe there is more land on the other side of the waters. Think about it, Simi. What if there are splendid, unimaginable wonders in that land beyond? Rahima's eyes were instantly veiled by the mist of wanderlust. I thought you wanted to stay in the village, and adventure was another name for misery. This adventure is. How is being banished from society but still within eyeshot of Bertha, in order to do exactly the same thing, only alone, a valiant exploit? But that. I wonder if we could, Simi. Maybe find high ground and look as far as we can, to see if we can glimpse land across the waters. Say we do. How do you expect to get to it? I saw driftwood floating on top of the water. Maybe we can tie some together with those threads. They seem sturdy enough. Simi didn't want to spoil her friend's good mood, which had become such a rarity lately, and they spent the afternoon making plans to climb the shallow dune near the beach in the hope the waters would gift them a wonderful discovery. They reached the top of the hill at high noon, which didn't show very good planning, because the water was gleaming like a mirror, impeding all visibility, while the unforgiving sun was threatening to cook them alive. Look! Look over there! See? Rahima pointed in a random direction towards something that wasn't there. It was impossible to tell what was there or not, with all the glare. It's not land, Rahima, Simi tried to diffuse her friend's enthusiasm. How can you see anything? There's nothing but glare. Just to contradict her, the sun hid in the clouds for a second, revealing a flash of something green in the distance, just a flash, and then it was gone. So, say that is land. What do you want to do about it? Go there, of course. You are going to get us killed. You sound exactly like Josepha, you know that. You take that back immediately. Simi bristled, offended. Only if you promise to come with me to the new land. They argued over the feasibility of the project until the sun went down, and while they were sitting on top of their dune, watching the sun go down, the new land came clearly into view, impossible to deny now, as it appeared, surrounded by the rosy and purple hues of the sunset. After much back and forth, Simi had to concede once they reaped the harvest and stored the grains there wouldn't be much to do anyway, and with the weather being so accommodating, it didn't seem impossible to float atop a bundle of driftwood to the land in the distance. Nobody had ever crossed the edge of the water, and to Simi it just looked like liquid land. You look in the direction you want to go and just advance steadily towards it. What could be more simple than that? Once the harvest was gathered and stored, they started work on the floating device, which was a lot more trouble than one would have expected, ground some grains, on a whim, to have some food, stocked up on a sizable quantity of thistle cakes and pushed the contraption in the water. They barely had time to lift themselves on it before a strong current grabbed the vessel and pushed it decisively in the wrong direction. Jump! Rahima said. Jump now. But we're on water. Simi returned her a blank stare, too shocked to react. You have to jump off now. Rahima pushed her and jumped, as the ambitious raft picked up speed and was soon lost from sight. With the whole brouhaha, Simi forgot to panic, and as a result, she found herself floating effortlessly on top of the accommodating waves. Who needs driftwood? We can just float there. Put your feet down, or you'll drift out to the horizon just like that raft. The waves had dragged them rather far from their camp, and it took hours for them to get back to it, and by the time they did, it was already dark. That was pointless, Simi started. Well, not entirely. We learned what's not working. Nothing could dampen Rahima's enthusiasm for the project, least of all the impending drowning. We need something to push the float in the right direction. Three sets of paddles and a very long stick later, the design was revisited. It's never going to go in the direction we want. We don't have enough strength to push it ourselves. Why don't you make the water do it? Simi asked sarcastically, but Rahima had lost all sense of humor and was taking everything seriously. You are right. We need to trick the water into pushing us where we need to go. The addition of the rudder didn't seem to make a lot of difference, other than the improvement of now floating sideways in the wrong direction, instead of straightforward, so they took another dive and watched sorrowfully as the second raft disappeared into the distance. As they huddled to dry up next to the campfire, Rahima started again. "Maybe we can make the wind push us. Or maybe we can drown ourselves directly and be done with it," Simi mumbled, resentful. She was cold, she was wet, and the fresh design held the promise of lots and lots of hard physical labor. "Besides, I think we ran out of driftwood. One more try, Simi. Just one." Simi curled up, trying to keep herself warm in the evening's chill, her clothes still wet. She had noticed, as she jumped off the raft again, to avoid getting dragged to that place behind the horizon where all the water dropped into a chasm, that it tasted salty and made her stomach revolt when she tried to drink it. Now that the water on her skin and clothes had started to dry, it left behind the pinchy substance, which was itchy and uncomfortable, and made her skin feel leathery. Rahima was wide awake, ignoring the wet clothes and salty skin, with wide eyes filled with dreams staring into the fire, and Simi could almost see the daring voyage in their dark mirrors, a voyage that to Rahima was eminently possible, and which she had taken in her mind a thousand times, so much so that it felt second nature to her. There was no doubt in her mind they were going to reach the other shore, and she was already planning the logistics for when they got there. Maybe whatever is possible in the mind is possible in real life as well. Maybe that was all her unusual adventure was all about, and if it wasn't, she didn't seem to have something better to do, anyway. "Maybe your garden is there," Rahima joked. What if she was right? Simi thought. Motivation makes all the difference in an endeavor. "We start work on the new float tomorrow," she mumbled. "Sleep. It's going to be a lot of work."